First Peter chapter 5 is the chapter we're returning to again this Lord's Day. Let's again read from verse 8 here in 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's ask for God's help now as we come to consider his truth. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for the word of the living God. And we pray, O God, thou would speak to us now. O Lord, come and speak to every heart. You know the need of each soul here today. And we're simply praying that by your Spirit you will take your word. And you will fit it to the need of each and every soul. O God, give me help in the preaching of your word today. Give us that anointing of the Spirit of God that is so necessary as we come to the ministry of thy word. O Lord, come upon us and do us good. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the Apostle Peter wrote to God's people, verses 8 and 9 of 1 Peter 5, he spoke to them concerning the important matter of the adversary of the church member. The adversary of the church member. The adversary of the church member of the believer is, of course, the devil. And this is made abundantly clear in the opening words of verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Peter right away reminds his fellow believers that this is their great enemy. This is the one who is their great foe, the devil. This is the one who set against the Christian, and the one the child of God must be wary of most of all. We should also note one of the most prominent names which the Lord has given to the devil in Scripture is the name Satan. Now, the name Satan literally means opponent or adversary. Therefore, as God refers to the devil as Satan, he does so that his people might know and understand the devil is their great adversary. He is their arch enemy. And this is how we must always view Satan. The one who is our opponent. The one who is against us. The one who is our foe. The last time as we thought upon the adversary of the church member, we considered the character of this adversary. This is something that is very much brought before us in the words of verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. As Peter speaks here of the adversary of the Christian, he describes what type of enemy he is. He's a capable adversary. He's like a roaring lion. And that sets forth the idea of something that is fierce and something that is strong. Think of a roaring lion. That is a fearsome beast. A fearless beast. Well, this is the very nature of Satan. He's a capable foe. He's a capable adversary. He is one who is fierce and strong. Peter also informs God's people here that the devil is a constant adversary. For he says the devil walketh about. In other words, he's always on the prowl. Always looking for prey. He is relentless in his activity of seeking to hurt and harm the child of God. And so he's a constant adversary. Day in and day out, he is there. Seeking to trip up, seeking to injure, seeking to attack the child of God. And then we also noted last time that the devil is a cruel adversary. For he's seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. This is the plan and purpose of the devil. To devour. He wants to destroy all that is righteous, holy and good. And he will stoop to any level of wickedness and evil to accomplish his depraved and perverted goals. It is then important that the Christian understands something of their capable, constant and cruel adversary. We need to be awake and alert to the wiles of the devil. And this is why God in his word speaks of the character of Satan. This is why he reveals these things to us. So we as his people will be aware of the devil's tactics and methods and be better prepared to face our great foe. And that is why we read about Satan in Scripture and why the Lord calls him by the various names and titles that he does to manifest, to reveal to us the character of our adversary, that we might be able to be better equipped to deal with him. Therefore, today, as we continue to think about the adversary of the church member, I want us to consider the combating of this adversary. The combating of this adversary. This is ultimately what the Christian needs to know when it comes to the devil. How can we oppose and fight against our great enemy? What is the plan of attack for the believer when it comes to standing against Satan? This is really what we need to know when dealing with this foe. How do we go about resisting him? How do we go about attacking him? Now, we should know from the very outset that the Christian is to fight against the devil and the powers of darkness. We are to be on the offensive against him. And this is the position, this is the posture we must adopt when we come to Satan. We must be on the offensive against him. This is something that is made emphatically clear in Ephesians 6, where the Apostle Paul talks about putting on the whole armour of God. When a soldier puts on armour, he is preparing himself for a battle. There's going to be force and aggression used, and the enemy is going to be confronted and attacked. The whole purpose of a soldier putting on armour is to go to war. It is to fight. As Paul then says to God's people in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul was reminding God's people that it is their duty to fight against the devil and his kingdom. This is exactly what he was doing. He was speaking in this way. He was using this language, first of all, to remind them, listen, you need to be on the offensive against Satan. You need to be getting at him, so to speak. You need to be engaging in war here. You see, as believers, we are not to merely sit passively and seek to protect ourselves from the fiery darts of the wicked one. Sometimes this is the approach believers think they should take when it comes to the devil. We almost go into hiding. And we get into the bunker. And we couch down. And we protect ourselves. And we try to hide away from him. But this is not the biblical approach. Instead, we are to be active and aggressive in opposing the devil. We need to be engaging the enemy, fighting against him, and fighting against his evil rule and his evil kingdom in this world. This is the approach we need to take. On the offensive, on the front foot, striking back and striking first. This needs to be the approach the Christian takes to the devil. We're not to be like the soldiers in the army of Israel when Goliath was attacking them, hiding and trying to avoid their enemy. No, we need to be like David. We are to continually seek to attack and drive back. And that's really the thought. Drive back Satan and his forces. Drive him out of our lives. Drive him out of our homes. Drive him far from us. We need to be on the offensive. We should note that this was the way Christ dealt with the devil. 1 John 3 in the verse 8 tells us, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Christ came to attack Satan. Christ came on the offensive. He went against him. And we even see this in his life, how he cast out demons. And when he met those who were possessed of devils, he cast them out and he delivered people. He was driving Satan back, you see. He went on the offensive. The best form of defense, the biblical form of defense, when it comes to the devil, is attack, 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 attack. As Christ's people, we are to fight the good fight of faith. And this most certainly includes actively striking against the devil, striking against his forces. How then can we as Christ's people fight against Satan and enter into combat with our great adversary? Well, Peter here in verses 8 and 9 teaches us how we are to enter into combat with our great adversary. And there are three things I want us to note here in these verses. In the first place, we see here, fighting against our adversary involves soberness. It involves soberness. Say again the opening words in verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now the words sober and vigilant here both mean the same thing. They refer to being alert or being watchful. The reason why Peter uses two words which really mean the same thing is to add emphasis to what he is saying. He wanted God's people to understand just how important soberness and watchfulness are in the Christian life and in opposing the devil. And so he uses repetition here to emphasize it. This is important. This is crucial. This is vital if you're going to resist the devil and oppose him. However, what we really need to consider here is, what is Peter directing God's people to do? As he says, be sober, be vigilant. What does this command from God's servant really mean? Very often, when we think of soberness, we think of someone who is grave and stern and unpleasant to be around. We might say of such and such a person, well, you know, he's a sober boy. And he's not too jolly, he's not too friendly. He's stern and unpleasant. But this is not the soberness that Peter's speaking of here. He's not telling God's people to be unpleasant and stern one to another. What then is the truth behind the soberness that is in view here in verse 8? Well, this soberness includes two things. First of all, it sets forth the idea of seriousness. Seriousness. Peter here is really telling God's people, be serious about the things of God. Be serious about the Christian life. Don't be careless and slack and half-hearted about spiritual things. This is very much the thought and idea behind the word sober. As God's people, we are to be serious and sincere as we live the Christian life. And this is what Peter is emphasizing here to God's people. You need to be serious because you have an adversary. You need to be serious about the Christian life because the devil is your great foe. This is the point he's making. This is the first thing which is essential if you're going to war a good warfare against the devil. We must be serious-minded believers. Serious about the things of God. Think of it this way. If a soldier did not take his own personal training seriously, he never exercised. He ate junk food and became overweight. He never practiced with his weapon. Then he would be very little threat to the enemy. On the day of battle, he would be ineffective. When the time to fight came, he would be virtually useless. Couldn't even run. Couldn't organize his weapon to use it effectively. If the soldier didn't take his training seriously. Well, so it is in the Christian life. If we're going to be a threat to the devil, if we're going to take ground off the enemy, then we must be serious in regard to our own spiritual fitness. This is vital. This is fundamental. This is foundational. Oh, if you're going to resist the devil in your life, if you're going to stand against the powers of darkness, you must be serious, first of all, about your own spiritual health and fitness. You must be serious about prayer and give yourself to prayer. You must be serious about purity, growing in grace and developing as a Christian and seeking to live a holy life. You must be serious about progressing in the work of God if you're going to be a threat to Satan. I believe one of the greatest problems in the church today is a terrible lack of seriousness about spiritual things. And I hear this continually as I speak to my ministerial brother. So many who sit in churches today, and they come and go, and they're there out of tradition, but they're not serious about spiritual things. Not serious, not earnest. This was the spiritual problem that Lot, Abraham's nephew, had. Lot was serious about carnal matters. Bible tells us he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And Sodom was a progressing city, an advancing city, a wealthy place. A place where you could do well in business. A place where you could get on in life. Lot was serious about that. He pitched his tent there. He went there. He progressed there. He went up the ladder there. And eventually sat in the gate in Sodom. He was serious about carnal matters. But sadly, Lot did not take spiritual matters seriously. He led his family to that wicked place. And in the end, the devil had his way with Lot's family. The devil had his way with Lot's family. And it started with his lack of seriousness about spiritual things in his own heart and in his own life. Christian, if you're going to fight against the powers of darkness, if you're going to withstand Satan and his wiles, then it must start with a seriousness about spiritual things in your own heart and life. And I want you to think about that today. Are you serious about these things? Are you really serious about going on with God and about progress spiritually? This soberness speaks about seriousness. It also speaks about sensitiveness. The person who is not sober lacks sensitivity. The person who is not sober lacks sensitivity. In Proverbs 23 in the verse 35, Solomon relates the words of the drunkard. And he says, "They have beaten me and I felt it not. They have beaten me and I felt it not." This, of course, speaks of a total lack of sensitivity. Because this person was intoxicated, because they were drunk and not sober, they did not even feel it when they were beaten. By contrast, Peter exhorts God's people, be sober, be vigilant. Therefore, he's saying to them, be sensitive and alert to that which will cause you danger and harm. That's what he's saying here. Be vigilant, be sensitive, be alert. Be sober to the threat and danger that's around you in this world of wickedness and sin. Again, here is something which is vitally important in standing against the wiles of the devil. We must be sensitive to his temptations and threat. Think of Eve at the very beginning of time. When the old serpent came to her, she was not sensitive and alert to the danger. And she walked straight into the devil's trap. She wasn't sensitive, therefore she listened to him. And she looked upon that which was forbidden. And before she knew it, she had let Satan in. There was a lack of sensitivity, a lack of awareness of the threat and danger from the foe. Spiritual sensitivity and alertness is crucial in fighting against Satan. Paul expressed it this way in Ephesians 5 in the verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly means carefully, cautiously, sensitively, we might say. And the person who doesn't walk circumspectly, on alert and being vigilant, is a fool. Because there is danger and there is the threat of the foe. Of course, the question is, how can we develop spiritual sensitivity in our own lives? How can we be sensitive and alert and vigilant? Psalm 119 verse 11 gives us the short answer. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. The more the truth of God's word fills our hearts and minds, then the more will we be alert and sensitive to the wicked one and to his wiles. The more the word of God penetrates our soul and fills our thought life and our desires, then the more alert and vigilant we will be to the enemy. We see this so clearly as Christ was tempted of the devil. Each time Christ was tempted, he responded to Satan's temptations with the truth of God's word. Because the word was in his heart. And as Satan came with his temptations, he was alert to this. And each time he was tempted, he rebutted Satan with the word, with the truth, because it was in his soul. This is why we need to be students of the word. This is why we need to give time to Bible study, serious Bible study, because it's only as we do this that we will develop spiritual sensitivity and alertness and be able to repel the attacks of the wicked one. And so fighting against our adversary involves soberness. It involves soberness. We need to be serious about spiritual things, and we need to be sensitive to the threat of sin and of Satan. But then moving on quickly here, we see also that fighting against our adversary involves steadfastness. Not only soberness, but steadfastness. This is brought before us in the opening words of verse 9. Let's just read verse 8 again to get the sense. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. The exhortation that Peter now gives to God's people, in these words, is they are to steadfastly resist the devil. They are to steadfastly resist the devil. The word resist here means to oppose or to withstand. This reminds us again that the Christian is to take up a position of aggression against the devil. We are to be hostile. We are to be antagonistic towards him. This is something that God's people are directed to do on numerous occasions in the New Testament. In James 4 and 7, James declares, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And again, we have that word resist. It means to oppose, withstand. The thought of fighting there is contained in that word resist. In Ephesians 4, verse 27, Paul says, neither give place to the devil. Which means, don't give him space or room to operate in your heart or life. But resist him and drive him out. Don't give him one piece of space in your life. Don't give him one thought in your life. Drive him out. Resist him. Put him out. Again, there's this thought of warfare and of opposing. And so the clear direction that the believer is given in regard to Satan is we are to resist him. We are to oppose and stand against him in a steadfast and unwavering manner. Yet how can we steadfastly resist such a foe as the devil? How can we? Last week, in considering the character of the devil, we noted how he possesses great power. Supernatural power. We thought about how he controls people. How he even controls the physical world in some cases. And sickness. He's power to do these things. How then can we repel and fight against such an enemy? Well, notice again here what Peter says. For he not only tells us that we as Christ's people are to resist the devil, but he also tells us how we are to resist him. We are to resist the devil steadfastly in the faith. That's what it says here in verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. That is, we are to resist the devil steadfastly through Christ. He is the object of the Christian's faith. This is key to successfully and steadfastly resisting Satan. This is the only way we can oppose him and know victory over our great foe. As we resist him, not through our own strength and ability, but through our Savior. Through the one in whom we trust. The one who is our great deliverer. As David went against Goliath, he did so trusting in the Lord. Indeed, he told Goliath very boldly, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. This too must be how the child of God resists their adversary. Recognizing the battle is the Lord's. It's his fight. And only through him can we know victory. Of course, the believer can know victory over the devil through Christ for a number of reasons. There's a number of reasons why we can know victory in him. We can know victory over Satan because of our position in Christ. In our unsaved days, we were under the control of the devil. He ruled and reigned in our lives. The Lord Jesus, speaking to the unsaved in John 8 and verse 44, said, you're off your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. The point the Savior was making that day was, those that are still in their sin are the children of the devil. And so Satan rules in their lives. And they can't resist him. They are his children. They're under his control. They're under his authority. Therefore, they can't resist him because of their possession. They're in his home, we could say. And they're subject to his rule. They're part of his kingdom. They're his citizens. The same idea. This is their position. This is the position of the unsaved person. Ever the Christian is in a different position. He's in a different family. In salvation, we have been adopted into the family of God. Therefore, Satan has no authority over us, because we've been taken out from under his rule and brought into Christ's kingdom, into the household of faith. Think of a child that has been adopted. A child perhaps that was born into a home that was a place of abuse, a place of difficulty and hardship, a place where that child wasn't cared for and looked after. And that child's biological parents, well, they mistreated it. It was a terrible place to live. But then that child eventually was adopted by loving and caring good parents. And once that child was taken out of that bad home to another home, those bad parents, well, they had no control over that child's life. They couldn't inflict pain anymore. They couldn't inflict misery anymore. They had no right and authority over the child. And perhaps they could try and fight the child and attempt it and annoy it. But ultimately, they had no legal right and authority over it. So it is for the Christian. We have been taken out of Satan's family and brought into the family of God. And Satan has no authority over us. We're not under his tyranny anymore. Yes, he can tempt us, and he does. But we're not under his rule. And believer, this is something you need to understand and grasp. The position that you're now in. You're in a position of strength against Satan, because you're in God's household and his family. This is what we read in 1 John 5 in the verse 18. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. See what John is saying there. The person who is begotten of God, the person who is a child of God, the wicked one, the devil, toucheth him not. He's not able to lay a finger on him. The devil's not able to lay a finger on the Christian, because the Christian belongs to Christ. And of course we see this in the life of Job. The devil could only touch Job when the Lord gave him permission. And of course the Lord set the boundaries, and the devil couldn't go beyond those boundaries. And for a period of time, yes, the devil did afflict Job, but it was all under the control of Job's heavenly Father. And so this is why we're able to resist the devil, because of our position. And this is something we always need to remember. As we're tempted to sin, we need to remember our position. We belong to God. We are his people. We are his children. And this gives us confidence and boldness to resist the devil, and to say, even as Christ would, get thee behind me, Satan. But we can know victory over Satan not only because of our position in Christ, because of our power in Christ. One of the greatest blessings of salvation is that Christ gives to all his believing people his Spirit. His Spirit to dwell in their hearts and lives. Romans 8 and 9 tells us, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The person who has not God's Spirit within their hearts and lives is not a Christian. They don't belong to Christ. Now Satan is no match for Christ. Satan is no match for Christ. Yes, he's a fearsome foe, but he's no match for our Savior. The Lord Jesus has already defeated Satan and defeated Satan's plan. This happened at the cross. As the devil attacked man at the beginning of time, it was his intention and plan to destroy man. And this was the mission the devil was on. His mission was to destroy man, the most glorious thing that God had created. And this is what man was. The most glorious thing that God had created. Man was made in the image of God, created in God's image. Therefore, he was the most glorious thing in God's creation. But Satan, out of a hatred towards God, wanted to destroy God's creation. So he aimed his attack at man. And he wanted to defile man. And to damn man. And to destroy man eternally. This was his mission. This was his goal. Christ defeated the plan of Satan as he came into this world, and as he went to the cross, and as he paid the debt of sin, and as he redeemed his people from eternal destruction. The devil wanted to destroy man eternally, but when Christ died upon the tree, when Christ paid the debt of sin, he purchased his people, he redeemed his people back from under the curse of sin and death. and gave to them eternal life. And so Satan has no answer to the power of Christ. He has no answer to the power of our Redeemer. But Christian, listen to this. Christ has given his Spirit to us that we might be able to resist the devil in our lives. Christ has already defeated Satan. He's already overcome him. He's triumphed over him. He's got the victory. But he's given to us of his Spirit, this Spirit of victory. This Spirit has already triumphed over Satan. This Spirit has already bruised the serpent's head. He's given this Spirit to us that we might be enabled to resist the devil and live lives of victory in this world. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And this is the word of the King to us today. We can resist the devil. Why? Because greater is he that is in you, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world. As the child of God is filled with the Spirit of God, we can know victory, daily victory, over the wicked one. We can know victory. We can triumph. Because God has given to us of his Spirit. And of course we need to continually seek for the help of God. The Lord says, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And the Spirit-filled Christian is no match for Satan. Satan is driven away. Satan flees. Satan cannot handle a Spirit-filled Christian. He cannot handle the attacks of a Spirit-filled Christian. Can't resist it, because it's the Spirit of Christ that has already defeated him at the cross, and he knows that. And he knows that. And that's why Satan will do all that he can to try and trip you up and hinder you from being filled by God's Spirit. We must never adopt the attitude, well, sin is all part of life. Sometimes Christians get into that frame of mind. Well, I do this and I do that, and there's this sin in my life, and sin's all part of life. It's just part of life in this world. And there's almost a defeatist attitude. Oh, it's just sin and it's just part of this old world. Oh, we must never have this attitude. There is victory in Jesus. This is what has been purchased for Christ. This is what Christ imparts by his Spirit. Promise of God's word is resist the devil and what? He will flee from you. He will flee from you. And so this is what we need to do. We need to look to the Lord continually by faith. Resist this enemy steadfast in the faith. Look into Christ. Look into him for his power and help and grace to overcome. And when we do this, when we approach it this way, then the devil will flee from you. Fighting against our adversary then involves not only soberness, but steadfastness. Steadfastly resisting the devil through Christ, the great captain of our salvation. One last thing, notice with me here, and that is fighting against our adversary involves supportiveness. See now the final words in verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Then note these words, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Peter in these words reminds God's people that the devil is not only their own personal adversary in life, but he is also the adversary of all their brethren. He's the adversary of all their brethren. This is what these words mean here. This is what he means when he says the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He's saying, listen, the fight that you're in is the same fight that all of your brethren are in. Now, the reason why Peter reminds God's people that their brethren are also engaged in the same holy warfare against the devil that they're engaged in is so they would support one another in resisting the devil. That's why he puts it forth here in this way. It was to remind them that as they engage the enemy, as they go on the offensive against Satan and the powers of darkness, as they labor, they must do so supporting one another in the faith. Remember, in this passage, Peter has been focusing upon the church member. the church member. This is the setting here of these words. And he's really emphasizing how believers, as members of Christ's church, must support one another in opposing the devil. God's people are soldiers in the same army, fighting the same foe. And so they need to fight together. They need to fight together. We need to support one another in the struggle against our adversary. This is actually one of the first lessons we learn about resisting the devil in God's word. When Satan came to tempt Eve in the garden, she at that time lacked the support of Adam, her husband. That was the first mistake. She lacked the support of Adam, her husband. And she was there alone with Satan. And Satan got the victory. This is another reason why it is important we collectively come together and worship. Because it's only as we do so that we're able to support one another in the holy warfare against the enemy. It's also one of the reasons why Christian fellowship is so important. To encourage and help our brethren in the fight against the adversary. This is what Peter is saying to God's people here. And this is important in the struggle of the Christian life. God has given to us the fellowship of the church to resist his foe and our foe, the enemy. Therefore, we must support one another in this. Think of what Christ said to Peter in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. He said this, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." What was Christ doing there? He was supporting Peter against the adversary, against the enemy. And believers, this is what we're all called to do within the context of a church family. And that's why it's important, let me emphasize it again, that you come to the prayer meeting. To support your brethren as they fight against the enemy in their own lives. This is crucial. We live in a wicked society. A sinful society. And it seems the devil is holding sway. This is a time to collectively come together to oppose the enemy. If ever there was a time to be found in the house of God, in unity, seeking God's face collectively as a body of believers, it's now. Because it's now we need to resist and go on the offensive with great zeal and passion. It's not a time to be absent. It's a time to come together and to resist. To pray one on another, for the devil is seeking to sift and destroy and ruin. And so, fighting against the adversary involves supportiveness. Supportiveness. Soberness. Steadfastness. But also supportiveness. May it be the case that we as individual believers and as a church collectively would war a good warfare. And that we would be constant in this fight and a continual thorn in Satan's side. This would be my prayer. That we would not only live for God's glory, but we would live in such a way that we would be a congregation of people that hurt, discouraged, and continually annoy Satan. Oh, may this be the case in our lives. May God fill us with his spirit to resist our great adversary. I trust God will bless his truth to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen.